Well, we're going to talk a little bit about flying from takeoff to touchdown. You have a little plane on you, so I'll be referring to this. And so I'm a very visual person, so I use illustrations because they help me, and I can take them with me for the week, and it can be a reminder. So anyway, how many of you here have ever flown on like a smaller plane? A smaller plane? Okay, good. So you know. I had a good friend, George Tidden, and the Tiddens lived on an airstrip in Brookshire, Texas. And it was a grass airstrip. So I've never taken off on a grass airstrip, but he was always inviting me to come out and fly. So I'm like, sure, I'll go. You know, so I went out there and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not too worried about flying. But I've never been in a small plane, and it's quite different, by the way. So we get out there and we're taking off. He takes this big yellow, it looked like a 1952, who knows, it wasn't even a Cessna looking thing, it was old. And I'm looking as I'm getting in, and I'm just kind of noticing bolts, making sure they're tight, and all that kind of stuff. And so he pulls on, bouncing down the runway. And by the way, thank you, Lord, for roads that are smooth in our country. Because you ever take your vehicle off on just on grass that you think is smooth? It's still bumpy. Okay, so we take around, and we're all locked in, and we all got the headgear on so we can talk to each other. I'm really thinking it's pretty cool. But then we take off down this runway. And I mean, it is bouncing and bumping, and I'm like, this is not what I'm used to, but this is okay. And I'm just thinking, I'm trusting George. And then all of a sudden, we got in the air, and it was kind of smooth. And I said, George, I said, can you fly me over our house so I can take pictures? He's like, sure. So we're going to go fly over our subdivision in our house. I'm taking pictures. It's kind of fun. But the scary, as bumpy as the start was, the scariest part was coming down, because I'm thinking, okay, there's two ways down, fast and smooth. And I'd prefer the smooth way. So, we come down and he came, and that first little, bump, and then you're just going, and it's that rough grass again. But we made it landing, and we did the whole flight and got out and was able to be here and stand here today and tell you about it. So I was really excited about that. So anyway, all that to say is there was a flight pattern. There's the takeoff, and then there's the flight, and then there's the landing. And I want to talk to you today about use that same kind of illustration when it comes to having a gospel conversation with a friend or a neighbor or a family member. And so we're going to use those three areas. So we're going to first begin with the takeoff. We're going to talk about the takeoff. We want to use this acronym that we use in our ministry, in our Dare to Share ministry. It's called Ask, Admire, Admit. So we're going to talk about ask. Ask great questions, okay? When you're talking with a friend, you want to ask great questions. And the idea is to get to know them. This is just basic communication skills here. You're asking great questions. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. And so questions are like the bucket that draws out a person's real thoughts, purpose, and feelings. So we want to ask lots of great questions, okay? First of all, begin by just asking God for wisdom to know which questions to ask, because I don't always know, but asking God for wisdom. I'm always, whenever a gospel conversation is beginning to start, I'm always throwing up just a quick prayer, Lord, give me the words to say. I mean, just something simple like that, because I don't know exactly what to say, and the Lord will give you those words. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So we go and we begin asking questions. You can ask general questions. In John 4, Jesus asked the Samaritan woman, hey, may I have a drink of water? In Acts 8, Philip asked the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? And then we can ask questions like, what school do you go to? Where do you work? Tell me a little bit about your family. We can ask all kinds of questions in getting to know them. By the way, who asks the best and greatest questions? Yes, this is church. You can say Jesus, okay? It was Jesus. He asked the greatest and best questions, okay? I mean, he did, and his questions were penetrating. His questions were great, and Jesus asked, you can read the scriptures, there's over 300 questions that Jesus asked in the scriptures. And Jesus asked questions. And then as we do that, we want to kind of, what we used to call salvation segues, kind of turn the conversation maybe to spiritual things. You can ask spiritual questions. Do you go to church anywhere? What are your spiritual or religious beliefs? Do you believe in a higher power? And so we can begin to ask questions like that and turn the conversations to spiritual things. I tell students, you know, we talk about Jesus all the time at church. Why wouldn't, and if he really isn't that much in our lives, why wouldn't we talk about him outside of these four walls? We should. And it should be natural. And it should be, you know, what I find is students are very open to talking about spiritual things. They really are. Now, when you start getting down to the facts and you talk about Jesus being the only way, there's a little bit of pushback, okay? But they seem to be very open to talking about spiritual things. And so we want to do that. We want to ask great questions. That's the first A. The second thing we want to do is we want to admire what we can about what people believe. You know what we want? Chris Jammy, the lead singer of Venus in Arms, from his book Philosophy, says this: it's never ridicule, but a compliment that knocks a philosopher off his feet. He's already positioned for every possible counterattack, counterargument, and retort, only to find a big bear hug coming his way. And you know what? We want to admire, not in a false way, but admire things about people and their belief systems. You can see this. Jesus does that in Mark 12:34. He admired the religious ruler by telling him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." In Matthew 8, Jesus admired a Roman centurion by exclaiming, "I have not found anyone with such great faith." In Acts 17, Paul complimented a pagan crowd of Greek philosophers by saying, "I see that in every way you are very religious." He was looking around, he saw all these temples to these gods, all these idols to these gods. And there's one that he said, and there's one to an unknown God. And then you know what he did? He used that as a transition. Let me tell you about that unknown God. And so he's admiring. For instance, I have a lot of Mormon friends that come by my house. It's been awesome to have them come by. And they come in and we talk for sometimes hours. It's been great. And some of the things I say to them is, you know, I really admire your dedication to going out and sharing what you believe. Okay? They're dedicated to that. Oh, that we would be dedicated as much to sharing the truth about Jesus as well. If you meet a Muslim, you could say something like, "It must take a lot of commitment to pray 5 times a day. You know, these are things we can admire. If you meet an atheist, you're going to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm impressed with the way you're so committed to science." And you know, you could, and the list goes on. And as you talk with people, there are always things that you can admire about people. Always, always, always. We need to find that common ground. We've lost in our culture the ability to find common ground with people. And so we want to be able to do this. Now, and remember this, okay? We always want to view people as real people with real feelings, not just belief systems. You know what? Growing up as a kid, I just played with my neighbors. I didn't go, "Hey, you go to that Lutheran church, or you're a Mormon, or you're..." I didn't do that. We just played baseball, you know? We just played, and we were friends. And why is it when we get older that we start putting up all these walls? These are people that God loves, and his son died for, and we shouldn't do that. So we want to treat people as people. They're not projects. People are souls whom God loves, and we should care about as well. And so we want to do that. We want to look for areas that we genuinely admire. We don't want to just give out empty flattery, for sure. And here's, you know, thirdly, remember that people don't care how much you know until they don't know how much you care. And that is so, so true. Jesus treated people as people. Jesus treated people as individuals, not even crowds. He just looked straight towards individuals. And sometimes when we get in crowds, we don't look to individuals. We just look at a crowd. And Jesus was always about the individual. And so we want to ask. And we want to ask great questions. We want to admire things about what people believe. So we're in this conversation. We're admiring things about what they believe. And, you know, there's sometimes people that say, "Sure, I've had plenty of conversations. People will share some of the weirdest things with you about what they believe." And, you know, in my mind, I'm going, "You are way off." But I'm not saying that. You know, but we can admire things about what people believe, okay? And then we want to admit, and here's what we admit. We admit that the reason we're a follower of Jesus is that we're so messed up that we need Jesus to save us. That's why I'm a follower of Christ. I am a mess, and I needed Jesus to save me. What that does is it puts us on a position of humility in talking with people, because we all know what it's like to talk to somebody who's prideful and only it's their way or the highway. And you know what? That's no fun to talk to somebody like that. But when you come in and you begin conversations and you begin asking questions about people, and people love to talk about themselves, and you begin to admire things about them, you break down the barriers and the walls there are to talk about spiritual things. You really do. And so that's the takeoff. You know, sometimes it's bumpy, right? You don't know what to say. You don't know what to ask. It's a little rough, but it's bumpy. But that's the takeoff. We want to ask great questions. We want to admire things that they believe. And we want to admit that we need Jesus. And then there's the flight, okay? The flight, again. And this is where we explain the good news of Jesus. We get to the point where we get a chance to explain the gospel. And if you don't know the gospel, let me encourage you. Understand what the gospel is. It's 1 Corinthians 15 says it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for our sins in our place. You know, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again. And that's the gospel. We use an acronym. It's a gospel acronym. Easy to memorize, by the way. G-O-S-P-E-L, God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins can never be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him has eternal life, and life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. It's easy to memorize something that simple so that it doesn't come across real robotic, that you're just taking them through the gospel. God loves you. He has a plan for your life, you know, but then Adam and Eve chose to sin, and that sin separated us from God, and God put us outside the garden, and then everybody since then has been born separated from God. And then, you know, we can't get to God by trying to be good enough. You know, and you can just walk through that. But we need to explain the gospel because Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is where the power is. The gospel is like a grenade, okay? It doesn't matter if you're 5 or if you're 25 or if you're 95. It doesn't matter who pulls the pin. That sucker is going to go off. And that's the same with the gospel. It doesn't matter who shares it. It doesn't matter how well you shared it. The gospel is the power of God. And so we share the gospel because it can transform and change lives. And that's the flight. You know, the flight is usually pretty smooth. And if you understand the gospel, it gets smoother. You know, the reason Billy Graham could explain the gospel is because he did it a gazillion times, right? And he was clear, and it was simple. Whenever you heard him speak, it was just so simple. And so that's how we become a master pilot, is by sharing the gospel. So you want to move from being a student pilot to a rookie pilot to a master pilot. And so let me just give you something. Student pilots, they're willing to fly, maybe. Rookie pilots are able to fly. Master pilots, they're ready to fly. A student pilot, it's a little dangerous. Rookie pilots are getting the basics down. The masters... pilots have mastered the core training. They know the basics. And by the way, any professional team that wins in a championship, if you notice, they're always good at the basics. They always have the basics down. Sometimes they're not the best athletes. They're not always the best. They may not have all those best individuals, but they play together as a team and they master the basics. And so we want to master the basics. The student pilot, there's a shaky takeoff. The rookie pilot, they didn't know how to take off. They got the procedure. But the master pilot, they can take off anywhere because they've been doing it a lot. Student pilots, they freak out at turbulence. The rookie pilot has turbulence procedures down. And then the master pilot, he foresees and avoids some of that. Student pilots, they don't know how to land. Rookie pilots has landing procedures. And you know what? Master pilots can make adjustments and make that landing. Again, you know how you get to be a master pilot when it comes to the gospel? You log in flight time. Okay, you log in flight time. And what that means regarding the gospel is you just share the gospel regularly. You do it regularly. You do it all the time, so much so that it becomes part of you. You know, it's like a hammer. It's a tool, right? I remember the first time my dad gave me a hammer and said, come over here and help me. I was bending nails over left and right. They were terrible. And I was hitting the wrong nails, my thumb. And it's just wrong things. But you know what? After a while, I got better at it. And you ever see these carpenters with a hammer? Those guys are good. They, 2 hits and that nail is in. You know, I'm like, dude, because they've become a master with their tool. You and I as believers should be a master with the gospel. We should be able to share it at any time, anywhere, and be able to tell somebody what it means to know Jesus. We should be able to do that. So that's the flight, sharing the gospel. And then here comes the landing. The landing's the most important part when you're up, because there's two ways to come in. And you want it to be smooth. You don't want it to be dropped. Okay? So the landing is the roughest part, because here's the deal. The landing is a holy moment. All of heaven is watching over the banister, excited about somebody who's about ready to give their life to Jesus. And at the same time, all of hell is fighting against that to happen. So there's spiritual warfare. And the landing is important. How many times have we shared the good news of Jesus, but then have never brought somebody to a point of, well, have you ever made a decision? I've done that before where I've shared, and then you're almost like, oh, do I? Because this could be awkward. And, you know, we have a phrase, awkward is awesome. Okay, let's punch the awkward. Let's move through that awkward, and let's do it. Because their souls are worth it. And so, Acts 17 says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear again about this subject. At that, Paul left the council. Some of them became followers of Paul and believed. Again, it's a holy moment. But I'm going to use a traffic signal illustration here too. You got to kind of have your antennas out. There's red light. You know what? Some people are going to push back. And you know what? You just say, you know what, I'm just going to let this be for another opportunity. This person's really pushing back. I don't want to lose a relationship right now. And you can tell sometimes when people are pushing hard back, okay? So that's a red light, all right? And they're not ready to land yet, okay? Then there's a yellow, it means circle around. Maybe they need a little more time. Maybe you need a little more time. So in your mind, you're going, you know what? Hey, maybe we can continue this conversation another time. And they might go, hey, yeah, that sounds good. And you can continue this conversation another time. But then there's also the green light. And that means it's time to go in for the landing. Okay? And they're ready to say yes to Jesus. By the way, the Bible says that harvest is plentiful. I think sometimes as church Christians, we think the harvest is pitiful. Nobody really wants to believe in Jesus. And that harvest is pitiful. That's not what Jesus said. He says the harvest is plentiful. There are people in Castle Rock here just waiting to hear the good news of Jesus so they can believe. That's the harvest. And it's plentiful. So let's not be buying the enemy's lie that nobody really cares or wants to hear. But let's believe that the harvest is plentiful, just like Jesus said. And let's be those workers. So two questions. These are two simple questions you can ask. Does that make sense? You can ask Erica, I say this all the time to my students, does that make sense? She makes fun of me for saying it all the time. It's okay, that's all right, but I'm gonna continue because the reason I asked that is because maybe I wasn't clear, maybe I didn't make sense, and maybe they didn't get it, and I want people to get it. So I'll ask that question, does that make sense? And so we can just ask them, does that make sense? And you know what, if they go, you know, I'm not sure. Then you can explain the gospel again, kind of walk them through it again. And after each point, is that clear? Is that clear? But if they say, yes, that makes sense, then it's the second question. And this is the one that sometimes we're afraid to ask. And here it is. Is there anything holding you back from putting your faith in Jesus right now? Is there anything holding you back from putting your faith in Jesus right now? Because this holy moment is an opportunity for someone to enter eternity apart from God and enter eternity with God in just that moment. And what a great privilege. How many of you have had a privilege of leading someone to Christ and seeing them pray and want to believe? It's like the beer commercial. It doesn't get any better than that, right? Okay? It doesn't get any better than that. And it says the angels are rejoicing in heaven. We should be rejoicing here as well. And so we get to, and at that point, you can lead them through a prayer. I usually let them say the prayer themselves, you know, because I've taken them through what they believed. So I usually let them. But here's two things you need to know about prayer. Here's what prayer doesn't do. A prayer doesn't save you. Nobody ever has been saved by a prayer, okay? What saves you is faith alone and Christ alone. That's what saves you. And many times people have been saved right before they prayed, right? Because they're in their heart, they believed and they received, right? But here's what a prayer does do. It's like a stake in the ground. It's like a marker in your life that says, on this day, I made a decision to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back, right? It's like a stake in the ground. Mine was October of 1982. That's when I believed in Jesus. I don't know the exact date, but I know it was October of 1982. And it's a stake in the ground for me. It's a point in time where I said yes to Jesus. And that's what a prayer does. It helps them define and put that stake in the ground. And so you can do that. So anyway, let me just give you four quick reminders at the end. First of all, man, when we're doing this, we need to keep praying and depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you. By the way, the Holy Spirit's your co-pilot in this flight. That's who your Holy Spirit is. He's the co-pilot. How do you get better at sharing the gospel? You rely on your co-pilot, you log in time. And you listen to others who do it well. We did not grow up in a Christian home, but I'll be darned if that TV, every time I turn the channel on, Billy Graham was on there somewhere. And God was trying to get my attention. I just like, oh, you're ruining Gilligan's Island. What are you doing? You know? But he was on there, and I'm serious. I would hear him say, but I've listened to a lot of people share the gospel. And I've taken notes from people. I've learned from people. I've learned in different ways. I've taken training courses. I've done a lot of that. And so some of that is with it too. That's how you log in flight time. That's how you go from a rookie to a master pilot. So we keep depending on the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10:19-20, Jesus said this to his disciples. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you too will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's why you send up a quick prayer. Lord, give me the words to say. So there have been times where I've come back and the students go, man, that was awesome what you said. I go, I can't even remember what I said. I'm like, you don't remember? I go, no, I don't remember saying that. And it's because it was the Holy Spirit, it wasn't me, which is good. Okay? Again, the goal is to have a conversation, not a presentation. This is not some kind of show. You're just showing that you care for people and that you love people and that you want to have people in heaven with you. And so you're having this conversation. You're sharing these kind of things. We want to engage, not enrage. Okay, that's when you know if there's a red light and they're pushing back and it's becoming an argument, it's not time. It's not time. We want to defend, not offend. Okay? 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, giving him advice, he says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to argue with people. Nobody got argued into the kingdom of God. It was the Holy Spirit working on by grace through faith in Christ alone when people believe. So we want to do that. And then finally, I want to, you know, we work with our students. Take a Life 6 Words app for a test. There's an app for those of you who have smartphones. If you have a dumb phone, don't worry about this, okay? But if you have a smartphone, there's an app called Life in 6 Words. And basically it just comes up and says, if you were to describe life in just 6 words, what would you use? And choose 6. So you just choose 6 random words on here. Purpose, money, adventure, struggles, routine. And everybody's different. And then you hit next. It says you chose, and it tells you which ones you chose. Would you like to see how the best-selling book of all time might describe life in 6 words? And so then it takes you right through the gospel that I just explained. God created us to be with him. It gives you a Bible verse. Our sins separate us from God. I know you can't see this probably. Sins cannot be removed. And it takes you right through all the way to the end. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. And then what it says is, are you ready to put your faith in Jesus alone to forgive you for all your sins? I'm ready now, or I have more questions. And this week, we'll be using this a lot to share the gospel with students because students love playing on their phones and doing stuff with their phones. And so this is an easy way, and we'll take them through this. And there's ways where, yeah, I'm ready now, and it'll take you to a prayer, and it'll give you information where you can grow in your faith. If you have more questions, it takes you to a page that shows all kinds of questions that other people have had and gives you answers to those questions. So it's a great, great tool. Again, a tool. It's just a tool. Okay. Again, it's the gospel that's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Not life in six words, but it's a tool that you can use to share the gospel with a friend. And what we'll do is sometimes I'll just have somebody that I'm talking with, hey, why don't you download this app? Because they got a smartphone. You got a smartphone? Hey, download this app. Because then if I can get that app on their phone, then they can look at it later and they can go through it themselves when I'm not around and share the gospel. So it's just, again, what am I doing is I'm trying to show concern that we take as many people with us to heaven as we can. If heaven is as great a place as God says it is, then why wouldn't we want to take everybody with us there? And that's what we want to show is love and care. You know, I agree with Billy Graham. It's God's job, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job to judge. It's my job to love. I want to be able to leave this planet saying, I gave my best, loving people best I could, and telling them about Jesus. So, are you ready to fly? Okay? Takeoffs can be a little bumpy. How do I start this conversation? Even if it's your first, right? A little rough, could be a little bumpy. But then you get up and, man, you know, you understand the gospel, so I know how to share that, maybe. Okay? But then it comes time for landing. We want to land well. We want to land well. We want to give people an opportunity to believe in Jesus. So this little piece of toy that you have on your seat is for you to keep in your pocket this week, because that's the challenge. I'm going to challenge you this week to ask God through the Holy Spirit's power to give you an opportunity to take someone for a flight this week, to be able to share the gospel, to begin a conversation and to share the gospel and to bring them to the point. If they're ready, if they're not, red light, no, don't do it. Yellow light, maybe say, hey, let's talk more later. But green light, maybe they're ready to believe. Will you do that? Let's pray. Father, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's your power for the salvation of all who believe, first to the Jew, then the Gentile. And so, Lord, this week, I pray you'd help us not to be ashamed. Father, we're praying that you will give us your words to say, that you'll give us opportunity, that we'll look for opportunity. You say in season and out of season. In season is easy opportunities. Out of season is looking for them and making them. So, Father, we're praying for that this week. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.